Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are in the series entitled Every Manufactured Weapon and Every Evil Tongue Will Fail Against Thee. Our scripture text to buttress that truth comes out of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. I'll read it from the King James Version. It reads, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another blessed day in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who resides in us as individuals and who resides in us as a church. We thank you for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who leads us and guides us to all truth. Bless this lesson, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious, majestic, and one-of-a-kind name. Amen and amen. Satan hates you and me. He is the arch enemy of our souls. He hates us with a passion, a great passion. He hates us because God loves us. He hates us because God elected us and predestinated us and then redeemed us and then sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Elected, predestined, redeemed, and then sealed. You have the brand, the seal, the signet mark of the Holy Spirit upon you. We belong to God. And because we belong to God in a very unique way, Satan hates us with a passion. Thus, throughout biblical history, he and his minions, his demons, and the people that he has controlled have forged weapons against the people of God. Yesterday, we read a quote from C.H. Spurgeon in his sermon entitled Weapons Doomed to Fail. He said this: there is a great clatter in the forges and smithies of the enemies. Of the enemy, excuse me, singular. They are making weapons wherewith to smite the saints. See how busily they labor, how many swords and spears they fashion. It matters nothing, for on the blade of every weapon you may read this inscription: it shall not prosper. What a great quote. I'm glad I found it, because it rings true. In fact, it supports the text. It lines up with the text. It conveys the message of the text. No weapon that is formed against thee, against me, against us, shall ever prosper. They are doomed to fail, as the title of Spurgeon's message is, Weapons Doomed to Fail. So, again, we can hear the noise. We can hear the workmanship going on. We can hear Satan's minions at work. You can hear that entire racket going on, and you multiply that sound, that sound would be for one Christian, for there is a weapon being formed against one thing, and multiply that sound by the amount of Christians that are on the face of the earth. And that's the kind of racket, that's the kind of noise, that's the kind of industry that you will hear going on. But we are not worried. In fact, we can say, let us all go to sleep. Let us all get a good night's sleep. Let us not worry. Let us not fear. Let us not fret. For as the Lord says, they shall not prosper. The blade, the enemy's blade shall not harm thee. Now, if some would say, well, that makes no sense, Brother Torres, well, I will take you to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:16. Paul says this: above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench, to neutralize, to make of no effect the fiery darts of Satan. Satan has some fiery darts. He has some flaming arrows, and they come with great alacrity. When he releases those arrows, they come with great speed, and unbeknown to you, they're coming. But God has given you a weapon to quench every fiery dart, to neutralize them, to make them of none effect. And what is that weapon called? The shield of what? Faith. the shield the Bible promises. It is every Bible promise that neutralizes, that quenches, that makes Satan's fiery darts, which are deadly, by the way, of no effect to you. They shall not prosper against you as long as you keep quoting the scriptures, as long as you keep relying and turning to the promises of God, the shield of faith. Whether in the Old Testament or in the New, no weapon formed against you, whether the weapons be of men or the weapons be of Satan, they shall not what? Prosper. They shall not prosper. So now, we turn to the next portion of the text, which is in red. And it reads, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Every tongue, every single tongue. Now, there is not all tongues are the same. Not all people who speak with the same amount of convincing power. Some people are really good at condemning. So, let's read it again. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now, here you have a picture. And in this picture, there you have Satan. Satan is on your left. And behind Satan, you can vaguely see the Ten Commandments. You can, behind Satan, on that golden wall, are two tablets representing the Ten Commandments. And there I am with my head bowed down, because obviously I have broken one of the commandments of God, and standing next to me is Jesus. That's the picture. We're in a courtroom. Satan is my accuser. What is an accuser? An accuser is a prosecuting attorney. Satan is there to prosecute me, to have me found guilty. I have an accuser. His name is Satan. He's using his tongue. He's using his lying, fiendish, devilish tongue to do what? To point out to God, the judge, my sins, which are real. But then I have an advocate. You see, every believer, every Christian has an accuser, and every Christian has an advocate. Your advocate or your defense attorney is Jesus. So let's look at this. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. And in Revelation 12, verse 9 and 10, it reads, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were also cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren. Who's the accuser? Satan. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, the one who accused them before God day and night. Satan is a relentless accuser. And he will accuse you and me and all other Christians. He will stand before God accusing us day and night. You see, it is his tongue that rises up against you. While men would want to cut you down physically, Satan would want to cut you down spiritually. So he's the accuser of the brethren. He is engaged in accusing us day and night. It's a 24/7 job for him. He is nonstop accusing the brethren. He is nonstop bringing our sins up to God. But the Bible says that while he accuses us, we have an advocate. So let's turn to 1 John, the first epistle of John, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. We have a what? We have a defense attorney with the Father. What's his name? His name is Jesus. So, let me give you two examples in the Bible of Satan accusing the brethren. The first example is found in Job chapter 1, Job 1. Let us turn to Job 1. We'll start reading at verse 1, and let's see Satan accusing this man Job before God.
The book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said,
it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.
Thus Job did regularly.
So here you have a family pastor, a patriarch by the name of Job. The Bible describes him, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Job was perfect. The word perfect there means mature, lacking nothing. In other words, a man who is perfect is a man who is walking, possessing every fruit of the Spirit. He lacked no fruit of the Spirit. That's what the word perfect means. He means lacking nothing, meaning complete. He was complete. When it came to the list of the fruit of the Spirit, he possessed them all. He possessed them in their completion. Then it goes on to say, an upright, one who was always going towards God, looking towards God, wanting to follow God, upright, and one who reverenced God. He feared God, reverenced him. Sister Deanna Young touched upon fearing God in her exhortation on Sunday morning. And he feared God and eschewed evil. This is God's description of Job. So it gives you, from verses 1 through verse number 5, it gives you the earthly scene. What's going on on earth? Job and his fatherly ministry as pastor. Now, from verses 6 through 11, we have the earthly scene, the earthly picture. So let us begin with verse 6.
Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan,
from where do you come?
From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.
Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?
Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.
So now, you see, Satan comes before God. Of course, he is acting in his role as the accuser of the brethren. And God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth, a blameless man, one who shuns evil, one who reveres me, honors me, pays homage to me, an upright man. And Satan says, well, you know, he hasn't sinned yet. He hasn't sinned. And there's nothing I can bring to, before you yet. But if you do X, Y, and Z, he will sin. He will. And the sin will be that he would curse you to your face. So notice, Satan not only will accuse you of your past sins, but he will even attempt to accuse you of future sins, as though he knows what you will do in the future. Now, let me give you another example of Satan accusing someone in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, rather, Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Zechariah the prophet. Zechariah the prophet, the book before Malachi the prophet. We're going to be looking at the third chapter of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1. Zechariah 3, 1. Satan, again, the accuser of the brethren.
Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan,
the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him.
Take away the filthy garments from him. See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes.
And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by.
So here you have it. Here is, if you look at the little picture again, instead of a young man being in that picture, you can put Joshua the high priest. So there is Satan, and he's pointing towards Joshua the high priest. Joshua the high priest has a filthy mitre and filthy garments, which means that he was rolling in the mud. Another way of saying rolling in the mud is he's guilty of sin. And the angel of the Lord, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, opposes Satan because the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is our advocate. Satan will always accuse us, will always bring to God, before God, our sins. And again, every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment. When Satan speaks of you or me, when he accuses us, when he brings up our sins, when he pulls up your file and my file and brings it to the Lord and says, you should be done with this one. This one's a good for nothing. There is Jesus to say, remove his filthy garments and clothe him in white garments. So, again, it's the picture of Satan accusing us. And listen to me, saints, whether it be Satan's tongue or anyone's tongue down here on earth, the Bible says you shall not be cut down. Whether it be a weapon that is forged or a tongue that has been sharpened to bring about your demise, every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shall condemned. In other words, you will not be condemned, but the person accusing you will be condemned. You know, Jesus didn't die for Satan. Jesus didn't die for demons. Jesus died for you and me. And his blood and his blood alone cancels out our sins, and Satan's sins are never to be canceled out. This is why Satan always stands condemned, because there is no blood to cancel out his sin. The blood of Jesus will only cancel out the sins of the people of God. He is our what? Our advocate. So let Satan accuse you. Let him accuse you. It will wind up being nothing. Let him bring a lawsuit against thee. Let him serve you. You can be served by Satan. You can be falsely accused by Satan. But the accusation and the case brought against you will not affect you in any way. Why? Because the blood of Jesus cancels all your sins. Again, 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. And it says, 1 John chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Let's read that carefully. John writes, he says this, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not." Now, does God want us to sin? No, he doesn't want us to sin. But we do sin. So John says, we write to you these epistles, we write these letters in hopes that you will obey the teachings that are contained therein and you would stop sinning. But, he says, and if any man sin, if any man fails to obey the teaching in the letter or is ignorant of the teaching in the letter, we commit sins of ignorance, you know. He says, we have an advocate, we have an attorney, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the righteous one. He's our attorney. And he says to the Father, he is forgiven in me. He's forgiven in me. So every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment. And listen, there's no greater tongue. There's no greater evil tongue. There's no greater fiendish tongue, devilish tongue than the tongue of the devil. That's as high as you can go. I mean, if there was ever, a prosecuting attorney is Satan. And even Satan cannot successfully prosecute a case against you because your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins are covered in the blood of Jesus. They've been canceled by your advocate, the one who pleads your case. He pleads your case before the Father and says, this one is not righteous in himself, because that's an impossibility. There is none righteous, no, not one. But we can be righteous in Christ, and that's the blessing. God says, I will protect you from the weapons forged against you. I will protect you from every evil tongue. Let me give you another example. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, Luke 22. Now, when you read Luke 22, the apostles were not, the disciples of Christ, were not on their best behavior. In fact, after 3.5 years of being with Jesus, it seemed in this chapter as though they had spent no time with Jesus, because what Jesus taught them had not rubbed off on them yet. It had been like going to school for 3.5 years and you wasted your time. So in the midst of this misbehavior by the disciples of Christ, Jesus says to Peter, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has just desired to have you. That word desired is the Greek word aitio, A-I-T-E-O. It's the transliteration from the Greek letters into English, aitio. It means he just put in a request for you. In other words, he just put in an application that I would transfer you to him. You're under my care, but he's asked for you. Now, think about it. Simon Peter, whom Jesus called Peter, he says, I can't even call you Simon Peter. I have to call you Simon Simon. In other words, when I first got you, you were Simon Barjona. After being a while with me, I changed your name to Simon Peter. But now after 3.5 years, at the culmination of my ministry, it's like you haven't been with me because you're not even Simon Barjona, you're just Simon Simon. You're worse off. And Satan, knowing how frustrating you can be, Peter, he's asked for you that I may have you, that he may cut you down as wheat. But notice verse 32, but I have what? Advocated for thee. I have prayed for thee. You see, my brothers and sisters, Satan comes and desires to have us when we're not even at our best behavior. But Jesus has prayed. He's advocated. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee. Notice, Satan is using his tongue. He's saying to Jesus, let me have him. And Jesus uses his tongue to do what? To defend you, to advocate for you, to represent you before God the Father. You see, again, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. Jesus is on your side. Now, of course, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So I would encourage you to go to Jesus. This is why every time we serve communion, we always tell people, examine your heart. See if you have any sin, any residue of sin that you're holding on to. And this is the time. This is the moment. These are the few minutes that you have before you take communion to make yourself right with Jesus. Not make yourself right with Satan, but make yourself right with Jesus. I write unto you, John said, little children, that you sin not. But if you have sinned, you have an advocate. You have an attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the righteous one. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow, and we'll explore the remainder of the text. But my brothers and sisters, listen to me. Fear no weapon, and fear no tongue. Remember Ephesians 6:16. The greatest weapon that could ever be launched against you are Satan's fiery darts. And God makes them of no effect when he hands you the shield of faith. The greatest tongue that could ever rise up against you is Satan's fiendish, devilish, conniving, lying tongue. And God's antidote for him there is your advocate, Jesus Christ. So on both counts, you have nothing to fear. May God bless you. We're going to close the broadcast with My God and I, sung by George Beverly Shea.
Ooh.